Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, conversation with Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's running for Congress here in Arizona. He is a faithful Muslim, and we talk about a reformation in Islam. It's a very important conversation, and he has a book out called A Battle for the Soul of Islam. Super interesting. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us is someone I've known for quite a while, Dr. Zudi Jasser.
It's great to be here, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Dr. Jasser is running for Congress here in Arizona. Your
yes.
website's easy to remember. It's the letter Z4AZ.com, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're running as a Republican to unseat Greg Stanton, right?
Yep.
Former mayor of Phoenix. So I'm really excited about that. Tell
Thank
us about
you.
That race.
Thank you. Well, I think it's time for change. Greg Stanton's been an empty suit. He's been a rubber stamp for the Biden policies and has basically sat back as the border hemorrhages and ignores the effect on our citizens here in district with the crime rates, with the fentanyl infusion, ignored the fact that we need growth in our economy, has ignored the fact that most Americans in district really want to put bread on the table for their kids and family, and he has ignored the economic impacts on that, and also healthcare. I can tell you, as a physician practicing in district with a lot of patients.
Very well
district.
Respected. Yeah.
Thank you. I can tell you that most of my patients are very concerned about access to health care. Primary care takes 3-4 months to get into, and you're being bought out by private equity interests. And really, the economy is so much worse from every aspect. Free speech. ASU has had demonstrations that are anti-Semitic,
yes.
anti-Israel, are just horrific. Greg Stanton has said nothing but tweeted a few paragraphs about support of Israel. Really, I think it's time for change. I'm the antidote to the radical Ilhan Omars and Rashida Tlaibs. And I think my story about how my family came here legally, got political asylum, and were able to raise me in a small town in Wisconsin where I learned to have a personal relationship with God and separate myself from the Islamist movements and the dictatorships and be able to have a freedom that you just could not have anywhere else. And I'd like to give back to my district, back to my state here in Arizona. I've been here for 26 years after serving in the Navy, and I think it's time for change.
You're an American patriot, and we got to know each other through Foster Freeze.
Yes, we
May
did.
He rest in peace.
Amen.
And Foster, you were one of Foster's favorite people.
Thank you. He did things for my family, for our foundation, the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, that put us on the map. He realized that America was and is a shining beacon on the hill for those who want to be free, regardless of faith identity. You know, he did it as an evangelical Christian. He told me, Zudi, I hope you find Jesus, but I'm going to help you help us be safer as Americans. And he believed in that.
He did. And he also loved that you were trying to have a reformation in Islam. Is that fair to say? To
totally.
Summarize some of your work. And so one of the reasons, Zudi, I wanted to have you on is obviously help out your candidacy. I'm all in any way I can help.
Thank you.
And I've known you for a long time. You're a patriot. You're so honest and humble and ethical. But also a lot of people have questions about Islam. And you are a faithful Muslim, but you approach it in a way where you believe that Islam needs a reformation. And you've wrote a whole book on this that Mark Levin and many others endorsed, which is called A Battle for the Soul of Islam. So this is where I want to spend some of our time. But you also want to do some disclaimers before we get into that, right?
Yeah, and listen, you know, I'm running for a seat to represent all citizens in our district, regardless of faith. And my comments about particular faith and reformation are based on my foundational work and not based on representation in Congress. So I think there's no faith test to run for Congress. But I do think that obviously what I'm talking about is a political movement that masquerades as a faith that needs reform, and happy to talk about
that. So what do you mean by that, a political movement that masquerades as a faith?
So if you look at the foundations of America, 1789 years after Jesus's ministry, there was finally a country created that separated, that prevented the establishment of a church through government, a government of a theocracy, if you will. And that Islam has not gone through. It has not gone through a separation of mosque and state and an enlightenment process. So Islam as a faith is 1,445 years old, and it still has to go through a process in which it rejects tribalism, rejects feudalism, in which the clerics run government, the clerics dominate thought and prevent critical thinking. And right now, of the 56 Muslim-majority countries, almost every one of them is a dictatorship, is a military autocracy in which you can't ask the tough questions, which is why, Charlie, after 9/11, we had our first rally against terrorism in the country here in Patriot Square in downtown Phoenix, which is why I've been focused just running into the fire, if you're towards the fire of radical Islam, because only Muslims can fix this problem. And just like the silent Germans that sat back and watched the Nazis not only take over Germany but slaughter Jews in a Holocaust, so many Muslims are silent, and we're the only ones that can fix this problem until we realize that we have to reject and begin to displace the leadership, not only in countries that are petrol trillion-dollar rich, that are filling the bandwidth of discussion of Islam, but also in our mosques in this country where we're free to have this debate. They're actually using the woke ideas. I was talking about wokeism before it was a thing.
Yeah,
in 2005 and 10, saying, listen, Islamophobia is a contrived idea. It's doesn't exist. There might be some bigotry against Muslims, but Islamophobia is a term the Gulf states created in order to prevent criticism against Islam, in order to invoke blasphemy laws. And we need to reform these things and do what the West did in its 30 years war. And it's not going to be bloodless. It's going to be bloody. We've seen with revolutions in the Middle East. You see the women's movement in Iran. There is hope out there, but we just have to be focused.
So I have several questions, and I just want to say I'm cheering for you. And so if I were to say, Zudi, that it's concerning to me that a majority of Muslims in America, according to a poll, said that they supported Hamas's attack on Israel. What would drive that? Let's pretend the poll is accurate. I'm not sure if it is. 57%. How do we get to a place like that?
I'm not going to give you any excuses. It's moral decay. Why do you see on campuses folks that are obviously Western, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, waving flags of the Palestinian flag, that sometimes actually it's the Italian flag because they can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's right.
And they think they're cheering on Palestine, and they have no idea where it is on a map, and yet they're saying things that are horrifically anti-Semitic. So part of it is ignorance. Part of it is, I think, the primary thing is moral decay. They have worn their faith as a ornament on their sleeves, but not really understood and enacted a moral agency. So this is why, as I talk to Muslims in our Muslim reform movement around the world and the movements for reform, they're saying, you know what? Stop treating Muslims like children. Stop giving them a pass on moral agency. Just because you're occupied by Hamas, well, not by Israel, but if they're occupied, it's by Hamas in in Gaza. And if they're occupied and in an open-air prison, that doesn't have them lose moral agency where they can justify acting even worse than animals, where they behead babies and rape women and all these things that are being ignored by even the Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars. It's beyond simply hate speech. This is moral decay, number one. Number two, the bigger reason is, just like wokeism has, finally Americans are starting to understand the battle I've been trying to have, where we see the Chinese Communist Party, we see Qatar and all these trillion-dollar petro interests funding our universities, funding Middle East institutes that are horrifically anti-Semitic, anti-American, and don't care about morality. So when Hamas attacks and targets by their manual, the manual of the militants said they needed to target a festival, target schools, target civilians and kibbutzes. This was not an act of war. It was an act of genocide. It was a pogrom against the Jews. And Muslims who reject that are simply part of the propaganda arm. They're not, I think, pious Muslims who understand Islam from the way I want to see it, in a reform way. And we need to, I think, push back and not have a bigotry of low expectations where, okay, if you're a Muslim, how do you not speak out against what Hamas did? How do you then defer that and use some type of moral equivalency, which I think is corrupt? It's a corruption.
The book is A Battle for the Soul of Islam by Dr. Zudi Jasser, also running for Congress here in the great state of Arizona. In fact, we're in the district.
Yes.
Z4AZ.com, right?
Yes.
And I want to get into that because I think people have some opinions on Islam of what they believe it is. And some of it might be true, some of it might not be true. So I want to dive into that. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. So, Dr. Jasser, can you just repeat what you were saying? You were saying that one of your goals is decoupling the state from Islam. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The only way, and this is why I think if you look at all the offensive ideas into our country that's destroying universities and other, we need an offense. And I've talked about, and we formed a coalition called the Clarity Coalition, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y, which is Champions for Liberty Against the Reality of Islamist Tyranny. And that includes not only Muslim organizations, but think tanks like the Middle East Forum, Hudson Institute, and so many others that are working with us to say, you know what, the problem is political Islam. The problem is any Islamic state, not just ISIS, but the Islamic Republic of Iran, Islamic Republic of Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, even though it's run by a tribe, is basically an Islamic state with Sharia law. Any state that uses Sharia, Islamic.
What is Sharia for someone who doesn't know?
Is the Arabic word for Islamic jurisprudence. So just like there's canonic law, Talmudic law, Islamic law is Sharia. And there are states across the world with hundreds of millions of people living under Sharia law that mandates the way women dress. It mandates the killing of homosexuals. It mandates forced punishment and brutal punishment for crimes and things that is just, from medieval times.
So if I were to say, Zudi, and is this an unfair summary that in most Islamic circles in the Middle East, if they want to bring forth Sharia law, they believe in those things? I don't want to be unfair to
those are pew
Islam.
Polls that say that 84%, for example, of Egyptians, 90% of Pakistanis think if somebody leave Islam, they should be killed. And they see that as sedition, as treason, because they have an Islamic state. So all of these things, jihad, what is jihad? Jihad is what the military of an Islamic state undergoes when it goes into battle. So Turkey, a so-called NATO ally, when it went into cross the border of Syria only a few years ago, was slaughtering Kurds and posting video that they were enacting a jihad. So even a so-called democracy will use jihad. So the way to fight that is to say, you know what? For example, Indonesia had a scholar that we had worked with who was the former president of Indonesia, and he said, we need to create an Islam and a reform that people have a state of Islam in their heart, but they reject the concept of the Islamic state or the idea of the Islamic state. So you can have a personal relationship with God. In Israel, for example, Muslims have Sharia courts for family law, but it's just for personal pietistic law and not for state law, obviously, in a Jewish state. Yeah. So this is the issue, is that you can't reform Islam unless you first say, you know what? Just like America's constitution is under God, the word Christian is not in our constitution, even though we're a Judeo-Christian country, for a reason. They didn't want to debate about the nuances of Christianity. And Islamic Reformation, I think, needs to embody some of those things that our founding fathers taught us.
So I guess the devil's advocate would be, Zudi, that the reason why they're inseparable is because that is what the Hadith, or what later Islamic theology, would mandate.
Yep.
And so how would you respond to that?
Yeah, so the Islamic intellectual institutions, the educational institutions, the mosques, have all perpetuated their power by saying that, if you look in Egypt, for example, Al-Azhar, which is supposedly the seat of Sunni thought in the planet.
In Egypt?
In Egypt. In addition to Saudi Arabia, there's a battle there. But they put forth the idea that they influence Al-Sisi, they influence the Egyptian government by telling them what is and what is not Islamic. So even though that's supposedly a secular government, they have Sharia law instituted there. So ultimately, that debate of separation has to evolve in the West. So it's not going to happen in Middle Eastern countries.
Did the teachings of Muhammad directly mandate the creation of an Islamic state? I don't know the answer to that.
The answer to that is actually yes, they do. Because that's, to be fully honest. But the bottom line is that the Prophet existed in the 7th century. There was no government in the planet that separated. So the Prophet not only was a messenger of God to Muslims, but he was the head of a military and he was the head of state. So he wore all three hats. So to say that we can separate it based on his example is not possible. However, just as Muslims use modern medical science, modern computer science, there's nothing in his tradition, I believe, in our reform. Now, separate the Hadith. It's impossible to reform Islam if you use the
Hadith. I want to
talk
about that after.
We use basically the Quran, which is the only what we believe to be the revealed word of God to Muslims. In there's nothing that prohibits you from separating mosque and state and saying, you know, the imams have nothing to do with government. The state should have nothing to do with Islamic identity. And if the Prophet didn't do it at that time, you don't have to do it later. So if you have modern political science, you would reform and separate it.
Dr. Zudi Jasser, check out z4az.com. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. So Dr. Jasser, you were mentioning that in order for this to be possible, a reformation, you'd have to get back to the original Quran, not the later hadiths or commentary. Can you explain to our audience what that all means?
Yeah, so Muslims believe the Quran is the Arabic, what we believe is the Arabic script that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Even the English translations, most of which is what you'll find online, are Saudi interpretations that, you know, my father did his own translation that is very different than what you read from the hate translations that come from Saudi Arabia. And when I was on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, we sat with the Saudis and the Brotherhood and others in the Middle East and tried to tell them, can you modify these translations because they're creating a lot of hate? But if you look, there's these volumes of hadith. Hadith means discussions of the Prophet in Arabic.
It's like a catechism or
those
a Talmud.
Those are like the oral tradition. It's almost like the oral tradition in Judaism. But none of that is revealed. Every page of the hadith, the earliest, was 70, 80 years after the Prophet Muhammad. So even the ones that might be legit are found to be legitimate based on succession of transmission of people orally for generations. So most of that is contrived. There are hadith that the Hamas's doctrine, their constitution of their horrific organization, says kill a Jew behind every stone. That's taken from a hadith that I actually, in 2004, signed a global petition to, and we started that to say, listen, that's a fake hadith. It's illegitimate. It's contrived. There are hadith that call for the killing of Jews. I mean, not only killing of Jews, but killing of gays, to saying that women are fourth class, have a half the size of the brain of a man. I mean, there's just horrific things written in the hadith. There are a lot of efforts at reform to saying that, you know what, 70-80% of the hadith is contrived by tribes all over the world that did so in order to create control within the faith, and we should return back to scripture, almost like the Bible church movements did. And many in the Protestant movement said, you know what, let's go back to the original scripture and not deal with too much of the sort of man-made part of the faith, especially in Islam.
How is that usually received?
I'm, you know, either viewed as a heretic or as a apostate. There are websites that have attacked me and our work for that. We're discarded as Quranists, if you will, which isn't true.
What is that? What does that mean?
A Quranist is someone who rejects the prophet's tradition, and that's not what I do. My personal faith practice includes a lot of things that Muslims would not know how to pray if it wasn't for the, you know, because there's no descriptions of the details of prayer in the Quran. But at the end of the day, most of the radicalism is coming from there. Now, there are passages like the fifth chapter in the Quran that we need to deal with.
What would that be?
It says, for example, the Saudi translation says in the fifth chapter, it says, do not take Jews and Christians as friends. Now, that Arabic word is awliya, which actually says legal sponsors in our courts. It has nothing to do with friends, because there's other passages that say you may intermarry Jews and Christians. You may marry them, and they, you know, may be the mother of your children. So at the end of the day, that can't, either God had a split personality and was giving mixed messages, or they interpreted it wrong. And most translations will show that the Saudis intentionally put in anti-Semitic. The passage said by most Muslims around the world the most is the opening passage. And the Saudis have a footnote that say, you know, and the passage that says, do not be led astray. And the Saudis add a footnote to their Quran that says, like the Jews and Christians. And, you know, MBS is talking about removing some of that, et cetera. But they're not doing it from the pulpits. It's not the theologians. It's simply sort of political expediency.
Do you feel as if there is a growing appetite in Islam for reform?
I think so. I think the more we see Hamas's and ISIS's of the world and Al-Qaeda's, they're going to keep coming back like a hydra unless Muslims really take ownership and, you know what, and become American first and Muslim second, in that our personal
faith— Is that possible?
Absolutely. That's what my book is about.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that my personal relationship with God will always be there. It's part of my moral compass. But at the end of the day, it's my country that gives me my freedom to practice, to be a businessman, to have a family. All these things.
Run
for Congress, exactly. And be an antidote to the Rashida Tlaibs and
Ilhan Omar. Yeah, so let's talk
Ilhan
about
Omar.
That. So Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, you have the same faith, but you couldn't be more almost diametrically opposed.
Yeah, they're operatives of a political movement, a global movement, no different than Marxism, communism. They're Islamists who will say whatever possible to advance the Islamist movement or the Palestinianist movement, if you will. I'm an American first, a conservative who believes in conservative principles for our country based in foundations of our founding fathers, our Constitution and Bill of Rights. So to me, that's where the debate is that every individual has a relationship with God. They may not have a relationship. But at the end of the day, what separates me from them is the Rashida Tlaibs, Ilhan Omars, the Council on American Islamic Relations, Turkey, Pakistan, Saudi. These are large movements that are inspired by theocracy. And I want to be, as an American, somebody that stands against all types of autocracy and theocracy, because this country gives me more freedom than anywhere else in the world.
Are you implying with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the taqiyya, is that what it is, taqiyya, in T-A-K-I-Y-A, where you can lie to advance the faith? Am I
So taqiyya actually and historically is something that was within the faith where some Muslims pretended to be, for example, Sunni or Shia to avoid persecution. Bottom line is that's one form of corruption where they lie, they dissimulate. The Islamists were constantly dissimulating. I've testified to Congress about this repeatedly in that many times you'll see Muslims claim that they believe in the legal system of this country, but actually they're Islamists who will say one thing as a minority, and then you find when they're a majority in places like Dearborn or elsewhere, they invoke principles that are about things that are un-American, that are anti-American, because they have a majority, and it's they can't distinguish between majoritocracy and true democracy, liberal democracy that defends minority rights.
And so with the mass amount of, you know, Ilhan Omars that have come in, I use that plural.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you to see sometimes the lack of assimilation, and where does that come from?
It comes from, I think, a intentional fear of America, a hate for the West. Ilhan Omar, many times, you know, I served on the USS El Paso, was a medical department head, joined my ship in the Mediterranean when they were on their way back from Somalia. And I remember her a few years ago tweeting out on the anniversary of what she said was the greatest terror attack by Americans was on Somali soil. And I'm like, hold on a second. I was there. And this is, you know, my ship was there. And that was not an act of terror. You hate America and you shouldn't even be in Congress, let alone say that Americans are committing acts of terror. You should be speaking out against Islamist terror like Hamas and ISIS, et cetera. But yet their worldview is an anti-American view. Their worldview as Islamists is one in which they seek Islamic domination, if you will. And she's never spoken against that. You know, her constituents should actually, I think, hold her accountable. I can't believe they continue to put her back in office.
Do you think the constituents hold those views too?
Gosh, it wouldn't make any sense. But what does make sense, Charlie, and this is what I hope your viewers and listeners understand, is that there's this red-green axis, this axis between the neo-Marxists that we saw of the Black Lives Matter movement and Louis Farrakhan and other anti-Semites, along with the green, which is the Islamists across the world. So the Qatars and the Irans are working with the Venezuelas and the Chinas of the world. So you got to believe that many of our constituents, if they're not Islamists, which are Muslims,
they're sympathetic
then
to anti-Americanism,
they're sympathetic to
right.
the anti-Americanism, the anti-Semitism of the far extreme progressive left.
Yeah. And so the battle for the soul of Islam, you have a fair amount of debates where invited with imams.
Yep.
And you kind of feel like Martin Luther?
Well, different metaphors or analogies can I'll let them say that about me posthumously, if you will. But at the end of the day, even the imam here in district in Tempe, Shukairat, I debated him. The video is online. You can see it. He didn't want to do it again because he spent the whole time attacking me personally. I spent the time basically saying, these are the issues we need to reform in our faith that you're ignoring. These are the issues that Americans would need to hear, not to feel threatened by your movement, but actually embrace you for religious freedom. And he rejected that. And I think time and time again, I did it in Columbus. We debated them at Duke, in Notre Dame, and elsewhere, all across the country. We've had debates with imams, and every one of them are part of the, not everyone, 90% or more are part of what I call the Islamic establishment, which was, you know, I think if you look at the Trump movement, for example, it was about fighting the establishment.
No, that's right.
I've been fighting the establishment in my faith. You know, there's things online written about me that say I was kicked out of mosques. I've never been kicked out of one. I will run into the burning building and take them on. But I have never been kicked out because they realize they can't do that in America. Now, when we have our meetings in Europe and elsewhere, some of the female imams that come in that have been targeted come in with security, with protection.
I didn't know females could become imams. I know.
That's why she needs protection. The imam in Germany that I know, that's
right.
A woman, comes with German police protecting her because she's attacked and has come near quite significant injury in the past. So she's always protected, and I've not needed that, thank God.
So I'm sure you received the criticism, and I want you to just respond to it in 1 minute, that you're Americanizing Islam, that you're allowing the West to influence your religion. I'm sure you've received that feedback. How do you respond to that?
you know, listen, I'm running for office because I want to protect this country. The faith can fix itself. Yes. They should do that in their mosques. I do think that if you're going to be free in this country, you need to reject ideas that are a threat to the security of this country. So the slippery slope, the conveyor belt towards the ISISs and Al-Qaedas, I have a chapter in my book on Fort Hood. How does a guy like Nidal Hassan end up with a resume like mine and then end up working for Al-Qaeda? At the end of the day, it's because he hated America, had a worldview that was Al-Qaeda's worldview, and we need to defeat that sort of caliphism, if you will, to create the utopian sense of Islamic states and this corrupt, evil way. So, yeah, I think ultimately it's not about Americanizing. It's about getting the faith back.
I don't hold that view. I'm just sure you received that.
Oh, no, I know.
Criticism.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's not about Americanizing. It's about getting it back to its root morality, its humility, its integrity. Mm-hmm. Character is destiny. So every American Muslim that believes they want their kids to be Muslim, I think, should ask the question, what are the principles they're teaching? Are they accepting the propaganda of radical movements? Are they speaking out about movements publicly like they do at their dinner table? And that's the reality of my candidacy, is that not just about faith, but about the economy, about the border, about health care. I speak the truth on what I believe, whether it benefits my causes or hurts them.
Dr. Zudi Jasser, the book is A Battle for the Soul of Islam. He's running for Congress, and he would be a great member of Congress. Z4AZ.com. Have you become a member of the Charlie Kirk Exclusive yet? It's so easy. All you have to do is go to members.charliekirk.com today or charliekirk.com and click on the Members tab. Sign up for access to all of our exclusive content. Never-before-seen interviews, weekly columns written by me, all of my most recent speeches in one place, videos where I answer your questions, and so much more. Plus, we're going to be inviting members to Zoom calls with me starting very soon, so do not miss out. Help keep us uncensored by providing you with new content daily by becoming a member. Your support means the world to me and the whole team. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. If we have blessed you in any way, if this show has impacted your life, if you like the impact that we are making for other people and young people especially, consider becoming a member. It's affordable for people of all income levels. You guys get amazing perks and benefits, and it's only beginning. So go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. The book is A Battle for the Soul of Islam. Dr. Zudi Jasser, he's also running for Congress, z4az.com. Dr. Jasser, I'm sure you're receiving a lot of media requests right now because people have a lot of questions about what's going on in the Middle East. How should we think from your perspective about what's happening with Israel and Gaza?
I think the first step is to decimate Hamas's leadership and defeat them militarily, just like it was when the Trump administration appropriately finally said, you know, let's get rid of ISIS first and then deal with the issues after. Second, once Hamas is decimated, then the next step is to say, okay, so wait a minute. How many times does this Hydra need to keep getting a head back before, you know, whether it's Al-Qaeda, then ISIS, Hamas, Al-Qaeda back, Hamas again? What are we going to do long term to protect our security? Number one is to stop the hemorrhaging at the border here. And that we've seen, not only are there 160 people on the terror watch list that we don't know where they are, but have come through the border, but Hamas is coming through and Hezbollah and others. Secondly is we need a forward strategy. We've been playing defense on the wokeism into our universities, into TikTok and all these other things, social media. We need an offense. We can't win this militarily. Like you've said so wisely so many times, we keep thinking we can nation build and send troops, and but we do need to have a dog in the fight, if you will, as far as the ideas that are being battled across the Middle East and across the world, and represent our interests in the media, just like we did in the Cold War. We didn't have to fire a bullet against the Soviets and they fell apart because we had Radio Free Europe, because we had the pushing of ideas. And I can tell you a quarter of the world's population is Muslim.
Yeah.
And the women's movement in Iran, the best anti-nuclear program in Iran would be for us to pump ideas and help them. We don't need troops. Just help them ideologically.
I think I know why, though, doctor. I mean, I don't want to be too sinister, but the American intel agencies and government are hesitant to reform Islam because I think theocratic Islam hates America as much as they do. I mean, I hate to be that dark
about
it.
Okay, but I'm so glad you asked that, Charlie, because, again, as a member of Congress, this is not about reforming a faith.
Yeah.
This is about advancing ideas of liberty.
No, it would be good for America.
Exactly. And advancing within their society secular liberal democracy.
No, this is I'm cheering for you, Dr. Jasser. I wanted to have you on. The liberalization, I mean that in the best way.
Classical liberalization.
Yes, of Islam would be good for the planet.
Amen. And it's long overdue. And I would tell anyone who thinks that, this is why I think my candidacy is about diversity. It's about the fact that the true party of diversity are the Republicans, because we believe in diverse ideas. It's not about skin deep. You know, we are colorblind to any of our candidates and any of our constituents. But the idea of political diversity, ideological diversity, is that we would push the fact that you have free speech on campus. You should have free speech around the world. And the ideas of liberalization involve not putting people in prison because they argued against the Islamic State, because they argued we need to be defending these ideas and giving them the platforms to do so.
I didn't give you adequate time to do this, Dr. Jasser, but you said the Islam that you grew up with, what are the tenets of the faith that you believe are compatible with Western culture, that you live your life with? Piety, humility.
It's about morality, family. My personal family values with my wife. My kids are 21, 19, and 15. We teach them to be humble, to be honest, that any single thing that they're dishonest about will then affect their character. It's about character, strength, and helping those that are weaker than you, that when you see somebody in need, you help them. This is why I went into medicine, why I focus on medical ethics as one of my expertise. Ultimately about leaving the world a better place than you found it, about speaking out against things that are wrong, against things that are unethical, that are evil. It's about the fact that God watches us at every moment, whether you're by yourself or with your family or with the world, that ultimately you're held accountable for all the things that you do, and that we are people of integrity and people of honesty.
Dr. Jasser, Battle for the Soul of Islam, 30 seconds, anything you wanted to plug or mention that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Well, I think ultimately the issues that concern me are the border, our healthcare, our national security, the economy and growth. These are the issues that I will bring to fight for our citizens here and across the country. I think the party can be rebranded as a party of diversity, and that there's going to be a wave that puts Biden out of the White House, that puts the likes of Greg Stanton here out of Congress, and ultimately will be a new day for our party and for conservatism.
Amen. A Battle for the Soul of Islam. Again, the website is z4az.com. Dr. Jasser, we'll have to have you back on. I encourage people to check out your social media. You're writing extensively about this in real time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Including the anti-Semitism on campuses, and you know, you're speaking out about it a lot. We appreciate that.
Thank you,
Dr. Jasser.
God bless you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.